grandkids come every weekend to visit me. And quite frankly, we're scared to death of what this is going to do in the danger. Okay, sure, we get new roads. Sure, we get all that. But it's about the danger and what we're going to be suspect to by this property going in. As Megan said, there's a time and a place, and this just isn't the place. This is not compatible property to what they're proposing to put in. And that's the personal side. On the business side, I mean, the safety's been touched. This county roads have been overtouched. The adjacent property's all been mentioned. The last thing, and one of the things that we're afraid of and concerned with, is that this goes through and it never continues. You know, I'm going to throw out the name. It's the elephant in the room. What happens if Indian Ridge occurs again? And something is started, and once they own the property, they can do what they want with it. They can access down a single lane. They can get to it. They can get a dozer back there. It's already been done. They showed you the road that was started. But what happens when all of a sudden he clears the land, and I don't know how this all works, but if he clears the land, but then somewhere down the process, further along, it fails. And he abandons the project because he goes bankrupt. I never see a business plan. I don't understand when that all happens. And so, again, it's, you know, that's not necessarily a compatibility question, but I just wanted to make sure that we are all concerned about that as stewards of the land, you know, because there has been failures. And my family's been down here for 35 years, so we've seen them, and we know that they exist. But that's all we have. And unless there's questions, I can answer a lot of the questions that you might still have. Or we have some other folks that live in the neighborhoods that can answer the question. We talked about the road that was being built up the hill to be personal. Derek Patterson is listening to this, as is John Holderman, who owns the property adjacent in Taney County.
I don't have any questions.
I don't.
Okay, thank you.
Brad Youngblood, a longtime native of Taney County. Of course, you know, I'm coming here as a fourth generation. My kids are fifth generation. You know, my kids go to Branson. You know, I've been, you know, doing real estate now for quite some time. You know, I'm in developments and vacation rentals. And, of course, you know, when we came upon this property, like I said, the property had been listed for almost a year before, you know, it drew some interest for me. We walked the property and deemed that, you know, this would be, you know, a great property. Got great lake views. And, you know, nobody knows, like, this area better than I do and want to keep a, you know, a nice, pristine look to the area. You know, Johnny Morris is a great example of what progress and being able to merge that with conservation. You know, same thing here. We're not looking to come scalp the land and, you know, destroy everything, which, you know, they're putting out, you know, these Facebook groups that, you know, we're going to destroy it, pollute it, you know, 1,000 cars a day. You know, they don't know what we're doing. But what they do know is that we've got all but good intentions for the property. We don't want to see it in the hands of some of the local developers here that don't care about the property. They are 100% for the profits. You know, for what we're wanting to do, we want to put vacation rentals in there, but we want to integrate it in a way that it fits, where, you know, you look at the properties from the lake and say, hey, that looks like it's been there forever. You know, it's a great balance of keeping the property green with trees, and, you know, do it in a way that's very tasteful. And not to mention, we're looking at, you know, putting a gated community there. You know, the whole argument for the last two P&Z meetings was road. Okay, well, you know, we had to come back with some kind of plan, some kind of bid, how we were going to take on the road, which, of course, you know, we hired Mike Stalzer to do a preliminary engineer plan, and we took it directly to Flat Creek. which Flat Creek is working with us on the project, and they went out there and gave us a bid on the property. This is not just shooting from the hips. This was a road bid from what Mike Stalzer had designed. And I keep hearing about, we've not seen nothing yet, but it was presented at P&Z when we done it. You know, and I keep hearing about safety concerns. Well, is the road so unsafe that they don't need to be back there? I mean, come on now. The four vacation rentals there, apparently it's not a safety issue for them to be back there. I get there's going to be an increased traffic, but we're willing to take on the burden of the road to make sure that that is addressed. Whether we have to come in through Tall Tree or they could make a deal with the Holdermans to, you know, allow us to build a nice road through Leavitt, you know, we don't care. We just want to make sure that we've got good access. We're not going to have some shifty makeshift road to get back to, you know, our, you know, our $700,000-$800,000 properties that don't make sense. There's nobody going to want to go back there and take their $40,000-$50,000 rigs on that road. I mean, so, you know, we've got a plan in place. You know, we've already said that we're going to cover it in our COA budget to help maintain that road. I'm not here to strong arm people or to try to bully people, and, you know, because there's a lot of developers that will, you know, because they will get it passed at some point, and then you guys think we're bad. You guys have no idea what could come to this property. And not to mention, if this doesn't become a nightly rental, it's going to become a development at some point, whether I wanted to scalp the land and turn it into a hog farm. It's you can't stop that. But what we're saying is, yes, we're good stewards of the land as well, and we want to make sure that, you know, it's done in a way that's tasteful and it's a benefit for everybody that wants to come back there. So basically, we're, you know, this is going to be a carefully planned community.
As and I don't know what was presented to plan and zoning. I've already stated that. I'm sorry. Were you done?
Yes.
Okay. On the what we have here from CPWG, was that presented at plan and zoning?
Yes.
Okay. So it looks like the cut and fills. I can't read the numbers because it's too small.
Okay.
And it's kind of blurry.
Mike's here, and he can read to it.
Mike here?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. There you moved. It looks like, I'm just going off of what I can, the steepness, the grades, those have been addressed in your plan?
I believe everything's under 15%.
You were able to get it under 15% with the cut and fill?
It was a lot less steep than I expected.
Just so you guys know, I wrote down some notes. Does anybody else have anything you want to say? Hmm? I make sure you guys are...
What?
Didn't know if you had anything else to say before I made a couple comments.
Make your comments.
I wrote down some notes, you know, about the concerns. So the public access, and it's been mentioned, it's going to be gated. So
it's gated into our subdivision.
Into your subdivision.
Yeah.
So public won't be able to get in to go to core property and battle, what do you guys call it?
Battleship Point.
Battleship, you know, I've never heard it called that, and I've been here my whole life.
We hadn't either.
I always just called
it. We just called it Eclipse.
You said St. Louis and Chicago and Cincinnati. And
that's where I had to live.
Oh, okay. No, I've always just called it the Cliffs. Anyways, So the public won't have access to the core property to get to that.
No.
Now, obviously, people that stay within the resort or the nightly rentals, they would have access.
Right.
If
okay. And what we're trying to address, because everybody brings up, you know, security issues, is, you know, have a gated subdivision where, you know, that if that's what they need to feel like they're being shielded from the bad outside world. That, you know, that's, you know, what we can do. You know, we're willing to work with the neighbors to figure out a plan that, you know, makes sense for everybody. But what we're, you know, what we're not willing to do is, you know, be bullied for, you know, just being anybody else that would want to come in and do something with the property.
And do a similar project or something.
So, you know, I mean, Patterson's own most of those lots that are down through there. Patterson's have vacation rental. That road being cut in is a 50-foot wide public access. They keep calling it a private road, but it is not a private road. That is part of the plat that comes through there.
Okay. Is Chief Burns still in here, or did he leave?
He had to leave.
And I was just kind of curious. The Majestic. Is anybody here familiar with the Majestic?
Yes, I'm senior project manager for Dan Root on that project.
Okay. The original Majestic burnt down.
August 2nd, 2012.
And so now since then we've gotten boats. The Western Fire District bought a boat, maybe two?
One.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know.
And if I can speak to that too, at the time Majestic did not have fire suppression.
Well, that's what I was about to ask.
And these are, you know, and what they don't mention is these are all equipped with fire suppression due to Western Taney County requiring them.
So was the Majestic, just for the record. It was a completely sprinkler building that burnt to the ground.
Yeah, but it's a capacity issue.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on.
You know, with the Majestic, there's a 6-inch water main that runs in front of the Majestic. It's owned by American Water, formerly Tri-State Utility. The problem with the Majestic is there wasn't enough pressure and flow to suppress the fire. So once it got going, it was too hot for the hoses to put it out. That's why it went so quick.
For the hoses?
Fire trucks with the hose.
Okay, but was it sprinkled or no? At that time?
I believe the building had fire suppression. It had to. It was a multi-family condominium in the city of Branson. But with the Ivy Rentals, the single-unit condos that they're proposing, these will have to have fire suppression for the 2-inch FPC. So the fire suppression, the purpose of that is it's a life safety question, and it's really to get the people out of the building. And then beyond that, if they can save the structure with a hose, then so be it. But the primary objective is life safety, and that's what the fire suppression system provides.
And I wish Chief was still here, because I don't know who handles their social media, but somebody put out on their social media page that a structure caught fire and the fire suppression was able to put that out. Nobody was harmed. It was, you know, should be able to get the unit rebuilt and taken care of and ready for...
And that's going to be a concern for anybody that does anything on that piece of property, regardless.
I'm going through what some of the concerns were so I can answer my own...
Right.
Answer my questions by asking, because I didn't know there was somebody here from Majestic, so thank you.
Sure.
I just know that they recently put something out on that. I know where the location was. And it is not very conducive to
fire truck.
Yeah, what's that grade? You probably know what's the grade. I mean, that's a very steep grade going down.
It's
of where?
18%.
Yeah.
It's
Majestic. Oh.
But again,
I was talking about a different one. There was another one.
When you look at the lake, all lakefront property typically ends in a dead end road. There's Big Cedar. For this project, so it's usually one way in, one way out, and there's really no way around that, just with the topography and the nature of the lake. It's a constraint that can't really be overcome.
It's not one way in. No, it's not one way in,
and
one way out.
Originally, it was through there were some other smaller tributary roads, I guess you would, and then.
It's not considering the county road going in there. They're only looking at Tall Tree. They aren't looking at the grades coming into our subdivision, such as...
You say the grades?
Yeah.
According...
There's 23%.
No, there's nothing to do about it. That's what I'm trying to say.
And then the point about infrastructure first, you know, there's an argument that can be made for both sides as far as, you know, if you build it, they will come. But I think, again, that argument can be made either way. I know that specific to Big Cedar that was brought up just now, the infrastructure that's there now was not there when it was originally developed. So a lot of those roads have been...
It was. There was a back road that Johnny actually closed off, Lakeview or something like that.
A lot of those roads weren't developed. They were exactly what we're talking about now with this road.
Many years ago, I've been down that back road.
Yeah, that was the Oakmont community. I mean, I live down there. I'm very familiar with it. So. Was one of the commissioners that vacated a lot of those roads. So, again, very familiar with the project and what he's doing down there and what other developers have done other places, both good and bad. Anyways, like I said, I just had those questions about the infrastructure, the Majestic specifically, gated, no public access.